All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox!
I have to possess this comic!
Baseball's the breakfast cereal!
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book!
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Gar! This be Geek Stuff, episode 75.
Nothing.
Unbelievable.
Come on! International Talk Like a Pirate Day, September 19th.
Really?
What gift are we supposed to give on Talk Like a Pirate Day?
I don't know.
Straight jacket?
Booty.
Oh, really? Booty? Let me tell you how overblown the whole pirate thing has become. When you go into, what's that store?
Hot Topic,
and you see all sorts of pirate shirts about give me the booty.
I own one of those shirts. Come on.
Of course you do.
It's terrible.
Well, this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff. It is episode 75.
It is.
OG Talks Like a Pirate. Blech. That's the title. OG Talks Like a Pirate. Blech.
What a great and unique title, much like all of our titles here on Geek Stuff.
Really? Like the very controversial title from last week, Galaxies?
Hey, it was a good title. It tied into the episode.
Yeah, thankfully.
Mostly. No, it didn't completely.
I know, but thank goodness you were able to get that one the 2 weeks prior. You're like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. Unless Fantastic is going through the email folders again. Still no horse with no name.
Uh-huh. I suspect that people have just had a great laugh at your inability to figure out the meanings behind Horse with No Name and We Got a Hit.
It's completely and totally possible. But speaking of Fantastic.
There is no Fantastic.
There is no Fantastic.
Where is he?
In a galaxy far, far away.
Really?
On a pirate ship out in the middle of the sea. I don't fucking know.
Oh.
I thought you knew.
He's just not here.
He didn't call you and say,
Fantastic is
a
no-show?
No-show.
That's a demerit.
That is a demerit. He gets the tension next time.
Gets a little closer each time to the door, if you know what I mean.
He's going to have to sit in the corner before the next episode.
I'm just saying.
Maybe for the entire next episode, we make him sit in the corner.
I don't know.
Dunce cap on.
I will not show up. Write that 100 times.
Exactly. A la Bart Simpson.
Speaking of galaxies, which we were.
Let's get there.
So you went on.
I did. I loaded it up.
Uh-huh.
I had no troubles loading it up.
Good.
Everything went very smooth, although I did discover that I had completely uninstalled it prior. So I had to reinstall and repatch everything.
Right.
It took about an hour and 10 minutes, which wasn't bad. I expected it to be a bit longer than that.
It's a lot of patches.
I got into the game. I respect my character a little bit. I chose the spy profession.
As did I.
As did you. And I ran around a little bit. I don't know. Still out a little.
Did you do your homework?
I did. Tried to...
So you went to your data pad.
Did.
Data pad in Star Wars Galaxies, of course. Star Wars Galaxies, of course. The big MMORPG.
There you go.
That takes place in the Star Wars Galaxy. OG and I spoke with the producer of the game last week.
Mm-hmm.
We've not played for a while, and now we're both kind of going back to have a peek and see what's changed and what's different, and if we want to continue to adventure in a galaxy far, far away.
Right.
OG's homework was to go to his data pad, select one of his pets from old, and tell us what option four was.
It was stuff your pet.
Right. Did you find out what that was?
I did not. I was afraid to.
Well, I did. You basically, for those of you familiar with the game or not, about a year and a half ago, they did this big thing. They refer to it as the NGE. We refer to it as the flip, where they converted the game from this beautifully complex, intricate gaming system into kind of a console game. Nine professions, which they're trying to now expand out and do some of the things, bring some of the things back that were missing. And the pets is one of the things. So in both of our data pads, Basil, who is OG's character on the Starsider server, and Soup E, S-O-U-P-E-E, DiGiorno, on the Starsider server, we have gone back and looked at our data pads at our pets, and if you select option four of one of your old pets, you actually turn that pet into an item.
So now,
which you can place as a decoration in your home.
It's now one of the key skill branches for Beastmaster or whatever the hell it is apparently taxidermy.
No, that's not. That's anybody can do this with their old pets. But you can then take that pet,
right,
and reduce him to his DNA.
Okay.
And then use that DNA to grow a new pet.
Right.
So theoretically, I mean, it's kind of a gamble.
Kind of like Chia Pet.
It kind of a little. But you kind of... You can either have, like, I have Grawls, which are big. I mean, if you remember the Rancor from Empire Strikes Back, Grawls are bigger than that.
Right.
Much more fierce, furry things. I have two of them. I have Cramden and Norton.
There you go.
Named after the Honeymooners, of course. And I have two of them, and I am willing to boil one of them down to his DNA to see what I can grow out of that DNA.
Okay.
So, but I'm not there yet because I don't really exactly know how to do all that yet. But I'm learning, and I'm interested enough that I'm going to continue that. So, I guess that's the Galaxy's update for this week.
Well, mostly. I mean, you know, I didn't find everybody as helpful as Jake led on to believe, but, you know, it's okay. That was his name, right, Jake?
Jake Neary.
Yeah, Jake.
The producer of Star Wars Galaxy.
Right. I don't know. He was like, yeah, just go in, find someone who's a helper. They'll be sure to help you out. No problem. And I went in and I found like four or five dudes that were helpers. And I was like, hey, I haven't played in like a year and a half and I need some help. And they were like, a lot has changed in a year and a half, and then ran away. So that was the extent of the help that I received.
Well, I think help comes to those who help themselves.
Well, I'm trying.
So
I haven't given up yet.
Okay.
I've loaded it up. I've given it a go twice.
Okay. Yep.
I'm not giving up yet.
All right. Then we'll pick up with this next week, and we'll see where the two of us are at next week.
Okay.
And I have a special surprise for you.
Oh, yeah?
For the Star Wars Galaxies update next week.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Special surprise.
I don't want to wait. I'm not good at waiting.
Do you have some news?
Unfortunately. No. Yes, I do. Although the first piece is maybe kind of unfortunate. Apparently, Jessica Alba, while talking to MDF News, made reference to the fact that in the next Fantastic Four film...
Oh, boy.
You know, she has to go through with having a baby.
Oh, great.
So, I guess the plot point is Franklin.
They marry... And then there's Franklin.
So there it is. So I guess that's a spoiler. Of course, the sad news may or may not be that there is a Fantastic Four 3.
Well, I don't know.
You know.
Jury's still out.
Yeah. So, So Jessica Alba, Franklin, I don't know. They're making a Paddington Bear movie.
Ooh.
Do you remember Paddington Bear when you were a wee Kev?
I remember it.
Lil Kev.
I remember it when I was in high school. They were on Nickelodeon.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Jeez. Well, apparently, producer David Heyman, who I believe worked on some of the Harry Potter movies, is going to be working on this Paddington Bear movie. It's going to be an adaptation of the popular children's TV show. And as you may or may not remember, it follows the life of a talking bear that originated from Peru and was adopted by a family in London. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's going to be a little kid's movie. I'm sure it'll be in the vein of Curious George. Maybe they'll get some wacky voices, maybe some Will Ferrell or
maybe they'll,
Jim Carrey. Or...
Like the other one, Stuart Little.
Stuart Little? Who did the voice of Stuart Little?
Michael J. Fox.
Oh, that's right. Stammering Stuart Little.
You know House was the dad?
Hugh Laurie?
Hugh Laurie was the dad in those movies.
I didn't know that.
It's true.
I don't think I've ever seen a Stuart Little movie.
And the little kid, Jonathan Lipnicki?
Uh-huh.
From Jerry Maguire?
Right. That I do.
He was the kid.
No, really, my experience with films that involve small mice, I think, begins and ends with Mouse Hunt.
One of the funniest movies ever made.
So, well, come on, Chris Walken.
One of the funniest movies ever made, underrated comedy. It's like a Warner Brothers cartoon from the 40s brought to life. It was amazing, that movie.
And really, Christopher Walken is a brilliant comedic actor in that movie. He's very, very funny.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
For fans of video games.
Yes.
Particularly fans of Gears of War.
Okay.
You will be happy to know that NECA has announced that it has entered into an agreement with Epic Games, who produces it, and they are going to be doing action figures, statues, busts, dioramas, prop replicas to Gears of War and any of the sequels, and it's a full line of stuff coming from that fine, fine Xbox 360 game.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it?
Hey, that's pretty good, man.
I'm busting, sir.
I'm just saying.
So we have some new casting news for the Punisher film. It looks like Dash Mihawk, who I have no idea who he is,
okay,
will be playing the role of Detective Martin Soap. This was...
Soap.
Soap. This character was made popular during the Garth Ennis Punisher series, and he's going to be added to the cast, as well as British actor Colin Salmon as Agent Paul Budiansky. I have no who that is. I'm not really a huge Punisher fan. I know some people would murder me for saying that, but
not me.
What I do know is, or who I am familiar with, is Jigsaw.
Ooh, who's going to play Jigsaw?
Well, the jury's still out on that one. Apparently, during the course of this week, a British gentleman by the name of Paddy Considine, who has done some minor roles here and there,
right,
was bitching and moaning on his blog that he was offered the part, but then it was taken away from him because whoever the studio wanted as their primary for the part decided to accept the role. But no one has come out and said who that primary is. So we don't know.
Hmm.
What we do know, though, is that a gentleman by the name of Doug Hutchinson, who I think this might be his film debut, will be playing Looney Bin Jim, who is the younger brother to Jigsaw in the film. So there you go. Your Punisher update. Still
meh.
Meh. Yeah, exactly. I don't hate it. I don't love it. I just meh.
Let's talk about this.
Let's.
Because
you hate it.
I absolutely don't. I don't agree with it. I don't like it. It's from Diamond Select Toys.
Right.
Their latest Marvel action figure is Zombie Spider-Man.
Okay.
Now, here's this trend that is currently happening. And I think zombies are cool. Don't get me wrong. I think the whole zombie chic thing is very cool.
Zombie is the next pirate.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But the point is that when you start taking Marvel characters and zombifying them, it's just kind of dumb. And they've had books and books, and they sell and they sell. And it's so cool to see, wow, what would it be like if the Hulk was a zombie, or Cap, or Wolverine, or blah, blah, blah. I just think it's so stupid.
I think, artistically, I appreciate them. Like, I appreciate like the visual of Cap as a zombie, or of Spider-Man as a zombie. I think it looks pretty cool. The problem is I just don't care enough about the stories to be motivated by it. Like, you know, it's like, oh, that looks kind of cool. Okay, moving on. You know what I mean? I'm tempted to own that Spider-Man piece because I own you know, buckets of Spider-Man figures, and it would just be another addition to the collection because I am a Spider-Man fan.
Right.
But I don't know. The story doesn't move me to anything important. To be honest with you, I like the figure, don't get me wrong, but I like the statue a lot better, which is Spider-Man and Mary Jane at the wedding, and it's zombie Spider-Man, and he has eaten part of Mary Jane, and she's like dead and bloody and
well
falling apart.
Maybe it's me. I just don't get it. But in addition to its many fine points of articulation, we should point out the funny, funny packaging. Ha, ha, ha. They've packaged a figure holding its own leg.
Yeah, well, come on. That's wacky.
Yeah, wacky. Uh-huh. Parts come off, obviously. He's chewed up. He's got a base that, to me, looks like the Silver Surfer has somehow been torn up and there's some sort of energy protruding.
Okay.
I don't get it.
I didn't actually get to see the base, so perhaps I'll have to take a closer look at that in a little bit.
But if you like this sort of thing, if you like these Marvel zombie things, I'm not saying you shouldn't. It just, I don't like it. That's all.
Well, again.
But if you do like it, you can look forward to zombie Captain America.
Right.
And zombie Hulk.
Right.
Do you know on the back of this package, it's listed as zombie Colonel America?
Is it really?
I swear to God.
I wonder if that's an oopsie or maybe in the zombie book he was...
A colonel?
He was a colonel? I don't know. I didn't read... Geek Stuff fans, if you've read the Marvel zombie yeah. books, let us know. Is it he says, Colonel America?
It says zombie Colonel America.
Is it like spelt out or is it like the abbreviation?
No, it's current. Look.
No, it definitely says Colonel America. C-O-L-O-N-E-L. Colonel America.
Wow. I think that's maybe the biggest packaging blunder ever or... they've done something crazy in those Marvel zombie books with his character.
All right. Well, you're going to have to let us know, Geek Stuff fans, because we obviously have no flurking clue.
No flurking clue whatsoever.
All right. Well, moving on from that. Again, it's a nice figure. I wouldn't say don't buy it if you're a fan of the stuff. Just, I don't know. The story doesn't move me to
Right. If it's something you like, pick it up. I mean, I picked it up and I'm not really that big of a fan.
There you go.
So, but I'm kind of a... Sort of a 6-inch completist. These are a little bigger than 6-inch.
They are the scale. Yeah, they're like 6 1/4 or 6 1/2.
Like a tall 6.
Yeah, it's like elongated 6.
Yeah. Some of the figures, though, are cool, and they haven't done them in Marvel Legends.
Sure.
So, like the Watcher. They'll never do the Watcher in Marvel Legends.
No, and actually, that was probably in pretty close. No, he might have been a little big, right?
No, he was in scale.
He was in scale?
Yeah, he's a bigger dude. And Mephisto. Mephisto was in scale.
Mephisto is awesome. That's a really nice piece, too.
I mean, check out. You want to check out the Marvel Select line. You
don't
want to dismiss it so readily.
How many times have we said the Ember Frost figure blows the Marvel Legends Ember Frost out
of
the water?
Not only that, but the...
The variant.
The Ultimate Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
He's actually in scale with Marvel Legends. So
well, there you go.
Yeah, well, check it out. Check out Marvel Select. I think you can go over to DiamondSelectToys.com and you can check it out. You can check out all the fine figurines that they make.
Sure. Why don't we talk about the exciting DVD releases for this week? Because there were a bunch that pertain to this show and our audience.
Let's talk about the big daddy on the block right out of the gate. Superman Doomsday. Booyah.
All right. So for those of you who may or may not know by now, for those of you who know me personally or perhaps have seen me, I work in a DVD store as a part-time job, aside from doing this wacky, crazy show.
And, that's it. People, what they want to know is what OG does when he's not doing the show.
We got
nobody cares.
40 copies of this in. For yesterday's release.
Yeah.
And by the end of the night yesterday, I had one copy left in the store.
Hey, there's a lot of people.
So we blew through this.
The animated stuff is pretty good.
But this in particular is supposed to be really high quality. From what we saw at San Diego, it looks really, really cool. Of course, for all of you fans out there of Serenity and that show whose name I shall not mention, Adam Baldwin does some of the voice work for this. Adam Baldwin played Jane in Serenity. He is Superman.
Anne Heche, James Marsters.
Yeah, I mean.
Some other names you might know. Tom Kenny. That's the voice of SpongeBob.
Now,
Susie Kurtz.
I only have one problem with this animated short.
Because
I thought it looked really nice. I thought it was really good. I thought it was better than some of the other stuff I've seen.
Okay.
Something about Doomsday wearing sneakers.
Yeah.
Kind of bothers me.
But they're not. They're space shoes.
They're sneakers. They're space sneakers. They're sneakers. They look like giant space airwalks.
It's true. The film is 75 minutes long, but you get over 70 minutes of bonus features.
Wow. That's almost Lucas standards.
It's young Indiana Jones.
No, in order to be young Indiana Jones, you would have to get 210 minutes of bonus features, three times the amount.
Did you get a price point on that yet?
Oh, I did. Yeah, $79.99, I think it was.
Wow.
$79.99, I think it was something.
For how
like
many
that.
Episodes?
Seven episodes.
Holy moly.
21 documentaries.
$10 an episode?
Oh, no, you're paying for the documentary start. The episodes are free.
Yeah, undoubtedly. If you get it at Best Buy, of course, we like to tell you when somebody's offering an exclusive that
sure.
we think is cool. You get the Justice League New Frontier comic book, chapters 1 and 2 by Darwin Cook. And I think the reason that they're including this, besides the fact that Darwin Cook's a great artist, and this happened to be a particularly great book.
Right.
The next movie they're doing is the New Frontier movie.
Oh, okay.
So
there you go.
Yeah, based on Darwin Cook. It's going to be interesting. It's coming in 2008. We got to see a preview of it in San Diego. It looks fantastic. I can't wait to see how they handle this. We should also point this out. Do you know that this is the first animated Superman movie rated PG-13?
I did not know that.
So you know what that means.
What?
Violence.
Right.
That battle must be great. I can't wait to watch this.
What I think it means is that Joe Q should be careful because this is the way you should do an animated superhero movie.
Well,
I
how
think.
Would Joe Q know? Joe Q's got nothing to do with those movies.
Well, Marvel.
He's busy wrecking the comics.
All right.
All right. Wrecking. But, all right. It's
wrecking,
a little strong.
I know. We're not going to be Marvel haters. People
I
keep
know.
Bitching that we're Marvel haters.
No.
Not Marvel haters.
We can't have an opinion. Because we're hating on something if we have an opinion.
I know.
Blah, blah, blah.
I'm actually excited about this because I'm not a Superman fan normally. But
watching him get his ass beat up.
Whew.
I'll watch that any day.
Any day. If it was only Batman.
I know. If they did that Dark Knight Returns movie, I'd be on that.
Now, there you go.
Why on earth haven't they done that?
I don't know. You never
that
know.
That could be the first R-rated
you know,
Batman.
They keep on talking about doing some sort of Batman-Superman movie. If they choose to go an animated route and choose to go Dark Knight, could be good. Would definitely sell like mad.
We got more DVDs.
We do. Let's
we
get
gotta
to
We got to keep moving.
All right.
Grindhouse.
No, don't call it Grindhouse, you
I'm
bastard.
Not done. It's Grindhouse Death Proof.
Right.
It's only Death Proof. It's extended and unrated. It's got all features and special things that have to do with Death Proof.
Right.
Right. You get it at Best Buy. You get the limited edition steel case and bonus DVD.
Ooh-wee.
Full of special fun and surprises.
Perhaps I should pick my copy up at Best Buy.
Perhaps you should.
So for those of you who may or may not remember, Grindhouse made of two films, Death Proof and Planet Terror. Planet Terror is due out in October. I want to say it's the 15th, but someone can correct me on that if I'm wrong. But yeah.
I don't care. Death Proof was the better one.
Anyway. Was the better one of the two. Sure.
I liked it. Hanna-Barbera presents Josie and the Pussycats.
Aw.
The complete collection.
It's true.
Now let me tell you why this bugs me. It's only 16 episodes long.
But they have guitars and ears for hats.
Oh, no, don't get me started about my adolescent fantasies about Josie.
Oh, hey. What about adolescent? What about your adult fantasies?
Shut up.
Rachel Lee Cook.
Shut up.
She's hot.
I know. She still is. Only 16 episodes. I remember there being more. Maybe that's because I was a younger man.
Is this like the new Josie and the Pussycats?
No.
Or something like that?
No, this is the original DVD, the original series.
Perhaps you watched each episode like three or four times. And so
I'm
you
sure.
Remember four
but
times
also
as many.
There was the series that came after this was Josie and the Pussycats in Outer Space.
I remember that.
That one I remember more than I remember this
and
one.
And actually, weren't there Josie and the Pussycats shorts in the Archie and Jughead cartoon that
there,
they did to Archie
been.
And the gang?
There might have been.
I think there were
this
Josie
is definitely
Pussycat
a spin
shorts.
Out of that.
Oh,
and
sure.
Then Josie and the Pussycats in Outer Space spun out of this.
Right.
So I'm wondering, I'm hoping to do the Outer Space stuff now that they've released this.
Well, you know what? Hanna-Barbera has been putting out these amazing sets, and they've done some of the more obscure titles. I mean, Penelope Peril, is that who it is?
Penelope
Pitstop, that's who it is.
Right.
I mean,
that spawned Dastardly and Muttley.
I know, but they put out a Penelope Pitstop DVD set. I mean, so, you know. Let's keep holding back.
Let's keep going.
Let's go.
Family Guy.
Volume 5.
Volume 5.
Which is season 13. 6?
Is that what they call it?
I think so.
They're only calling it by volume now.
I know, because the seasons are so screwy and goofy. But if you remember, it's because Volume 1 was Seasons 1 and 2. So I'm guessing now they're screwed up and they have to stick with the volume number.
Okay. 13 episodes, 3-disc set. It's got some special features, of course. Buy it at Best Buy. You get the lenticular cover.
Buy it at Transworld, Suncoast, Coconuts, or FYE, and you get the Family Guy Mad Libs book.
Oh. That's nice, too.
I don't know.
I'm going for the
exclusive exclusives. I'd go for the lenticular, too, personally. But there you go.
I thought this one was really funny. We had to get it.
I'm ashamed to be your friend.
The Condemned.
That's right. I'm ashamed.
Starring Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I mean,
and Vinnie Jones.
I can't. Is it good? It got shit review. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's Stone Cold, and if he's acting like Stone Cold, if pretty much the movie is him playing Stone Cold in an action movie, I don't know. I guess it probably has some sort of comedic value to it. It's got to be better than The Marine.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Starring John Cena.
Well, one would assume it's better than The Marine at the get-go.
Right.
These are, it's, of course, it's not really a new premise, really.
No.
It's got the flavor of the Japanese film Battle Royale, where basically they're dumping all these people who, in this case, happen to be inmates in some sort of prison.
Okay.
Lifers in some sort of prison. And they're dropping them on this island and basically saying, you know, the last one of you survives can go free or whatever the premise is, but right. It's all part of a reality game show.
Oh, so it's like Battle Royale meets Running Man meets America.
Yeah, it's kind of like pre-Running Man.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of, yeah, I guess the other element would be like
that. It's the predecessor to Running Man, maybe.
And the Battle Royale.
And Battle Royale.
I guess a little bit of that, too. Sort of,
kind
of. But it has Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I said if...
And Vinnie Jones.
Well,
I'm the juggernaut, bitch.
He's the juggernaut, bitch. All right, let's talk about the useless DVD release of the week, in my personal opinion.
See, you're retarded, because this is a fine item.
I don't think so.
This is the Troy Director's Cut. They put out a regular director's cut, and they've put out a sort of a limited edition, kind of a big box set.
With like an art book and...
Yeah, it's got the 2-disc special edition DVD, it's got the Art of Troy, it's got a director's portfolio with some notes from Wolfgang Peterson, behind the scenes photo cards, bound script pages, it's got all sorts of... documentaries and
fuck.
Things.
I liked the movie.
Uh-huh.
I was entertained by the movie.
Okay.
I sat down and watched the movie and thought, this is pretty good. But all that extra shit, I could care less.
Well, you just don't know a fine, epic battle feature when you see one.
I enjoyed the movie
Let me tell you something. Sword and Sandals films get a lot of shit.
I like a lot of Sword and Sandals films.
Let me tell you something. You know what Troy did?
It paved the way for 300.
That's exactly right. If Troy hadn't been such a great flick, no one would have greenlit 300. Who'd have greenlit 300?
I don't know.
Exactly. You respect Troy, boy. You respect
I'm not respecting Troy. I liked Troy. I'm not knocking it. I just think that the set is a bit excessive. I don't mind the director's cut version of the movie being released. I think that's a fine addition to your collection, especially if you're a fan. I just think the set is a bit excessive.
I think you're a bit excessive,
well,
A. And B, I think this is a fine, fine film. This is a fine treatment for this film. And I think you are dead wrong on this.
All right.
Do you think OG is dead wrong, Geek Stuff listener? Well, why don't you go over right now to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and tell OG exactly how wrong he is and that Troy, a decent film, a fine film even, a good film, an entertaining film, a door-opening film, deserves the fat box director's cut treatment like this.
All right. So while we're talking about sad and depressing news like the Troy box set being released, we should mention that this past week, famed fantasy author Robert Jordan passed away. For those of you who don't know, Robert Jordan was the author behind the series of books, The Wheel of Time.
Yawn.
11 books had come out so far. He was in the middle of working on the 12th book when he
Or maybe
passed.
His son Christopher Jordan will pick up and the ball and finish...
The War of the Wheel of the Time.
That's it, yeah.
Ugh. Oh, terrible.
Ugh.
Ew. I like the Robert Jordan books, mostly. I got through the first six... seven of them, and I really enjoyed it, and I kind of lost interest after that, although I kept telling myself I would go back and read them eventually. It's sad that he passed away. I hope that in some way, shape, or form, they're able to put something out to wrap up the series. But, you know, to Robert Jordan's family, our condolences are with you.
Yours. Speak for me.
Big Kev is a bastard and doesn't care about dead people. All right, what do you have in your hand there?
I'm very excited about this.
Okay.
It's from our friends at Tonner.
Right.
Character, figure, company, doll thing.
Yes.
And whatever we're calling them nowadays, or they're calling themselves nowadays. I got this little fella, and I was very happy that we're going to get to talk about Dobby.
Ooh.
Dobby the house elf. Aww. From Harry Potter, of course.
Right.
He's part of their Harry Potter line of figures. So Dobby is in scale with the figures that we talked about previously that have come out. And different about Dobby is he feels cold cast to me. Is he a cold cast figure?
I think that he is. I think that he is. I think he's for those of you who listen to the show, familiar with Tana's work, we talked about the Sorting Hat that they put out.
Right.
It's kind of like that. And I guess because, I don't know, I guess because of the nature of him not being human and his skin texture being a little different.
Right.
And it obviously them not being able, it's not like they took a kid version of one of their dolls, threw some burlap on it and made Dobby. What are you, pervert Big Kev? Much like our friend Pervert Ken, Big Kev just lifted up Dobby's burlap dress to check to see if he too had a thong, and he does not.
He has some ball joint articulation in the shoulders, which is nice, and some in the leg. You're going to need that to get him to stand up with your other Tonner figures. Of course, right. if you don't have any Tonner figures for Harry Potter, you're not a Harry Potter fan.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying.
He is a spectacular piece.
He is. He's got ball articulation in the neck. He's got big, beautiful eyes.
Right.
And just a couple of sprouts. Did you notice?
The hair? Yeah.
A couple of sprigs of hair on his head. This is a really well-done piece, and it's kind of redundant for us to say, again, that Tonner is really doing the hell out of Harry Potter, and this piece just backs that theory up.
I think that I think Tonner should have gone the extra step with this piece and included a small spew pin for as an accessory piece to your Hermione figure, but that's just my personal opinion.
I don't get it.
Spew was the Society for the Protection of Elven Workers or some group or something that Hermione started up when she found out that the elven workers were being mistreated, so she started a little group.
I don't recall that in any of the movies.
It was not in any of the films.
Oh.
You Harry Potter wannabe.
It wasn't in any of the films. I see.
That's right.
So that makes it, let me see, irrelevant. Right. Okay, got it.
Anyway, I was just saying. But it is a nice piece. It does live up to what we've seen from Tonner so far. It definitely is in scale with your 18-inch, 17-inch, whatever they are.
Big ass.
Potter figures. And definitely a nice accessory to your collection. If you don't have them, you should definitely pick them up. Again, I believe it's tonnerinc.com. You can check them out. Why don't we talk about a little Star Wars again? I know we beat Star Wars into the ground last week. But earlier this week, I threw out to the listeners, help me give some stuff for the blog. Help me, you know, come up with something good that you guys want to talk about or you think our fans would be interested in. And we got an overwhelming number of emails in the mailbox from a bunch of different listeners about Lucas's announcement for them to put out Force Unleashed for the Wii. Now, originally last week, we had talked about it being available for every single system but the Wii. It was like every system under the sun, including the Nintendo DS. But apparently, Nintendo has gone forward, reworked some of the game to make it for the Wii, and they're going to include a special feature for the Wii-only version, a Jedi Duel feature, which will obviously make good use of your Wiimote as your lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's pretty awesome. I think it's what all Star Wars fans have been waiting for as far as a Wii console game is concerned.
Wii-tarded.
And you can expect to see that in the spring of 2008. You think so, but the Star Wars fans are fanatic about it.
Star Wars fans have Xbox 360.
A lot of Star Wars fans have the Wii and want a lightsaber game, and this is their opportunity. Now, if Nintendo figures out a way to work their online gameplay into this, where you can actually play other people from around, you know, around the world or whatever, that would be even better. But
they have a name for that
I'm
game.
Pretty jazzed. What?
Star Wars Galaxies.
They do, although this is a little bit easier to become a Jedi.
Yeah, because you start out of the box as one.
Of course.
What is the point in just giving something to you?
Look, in an MMORPG, it makes sense to build up to Jedi. In a game like Force Unleashed, which looks amazing, it's cool to be able to play a Jedi character. That's okay. The purpose of the game.
All right. Get your panties in a bunch.
I'm not getting my panties in nothing. I don't wear panties, sir. That's all I got. That's it. It's the news.
That's it.
I think we should take a little break.
Okay, and we'll come back with our second segment.
All right.
All right.
Welcome to the Nerd World Order!
Nerds are comic book readers, gamers, anime and manga fans, sci-fi and fantasy fans, action figure collectors, or anyone else that chooses to represent the nerd lifestyle. There has never been a clothing line for us to identify as our own, so the NWO was born.
The Nerd World Order is the clothing company for nerds, N-E-R-D-Z.
A new breed of nerds.
A breed that's in your face.
A breed that's in control.
A breed that doesn't back down.
No dumbass phrases on NWO t-shirts. No fanboy art on NWO t-shirts. Just badass designs for a new breed of nerds.
Take one brief look at the Nerd World Order slogan, Nerds Rule. You have now begun the Nerd World Order experience.
Nerd World Order clothing is all about representing who we are.
Find the Nerd World Order at nerdzrule.com.
Go to nerdsrule.com now to enter to win a free NWO t-shirt.
Nerds Rule!
Hey, this is David Naughton from An American Werewolf in London, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
So we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 75, OG Talks Like a Pirate, but I'm not talking like a pirate no more. So there it is.
Yeah, exactly. That bit lasted all of the intro.
Well, unlike you, I know when to kill some sort of terrible hokey accent or something like that early on in the show so as not to anger everybody for the rest of the show.
Anger them?
Yeah, you and your southern drawl or your British accent.
What was it with the quotation things?
I'm just saying.
You did that thing with your hands, like quotations.
Yeah, because it was hokey and crummy. So it was like a fake accent.
Let me tell you what's not fake. Let me tell you what's not hokey or crummy.
All right, let's.
DK Publishing.
Ooh, I like them. They put out some fancy, fancy, shiny books.
They do. DK Publishing, of course, if you don't know, we've talked about DK before. We're going to talk about them right now. They're putting out a lot of books that we want to draw your attention to if you're fans of these things that they cover. So let's take one for example.
Okay.
They're oversized books. You can find them at any good bookstore. We'll have them, Barnes & Noble, Borders, whatever your local book shack is, they're going to have these books.
Right.
They're intense, some of them.
Sure, sure. I mean,
they are. Let's take the X-Men The Ultimate Guide.
Right.
Okay. X-Men The Ultimate Guide is a book filled with X-Men information. It's got character biographies. It's got storyline points. It's got talks about the toys a little bit. It talks about the movies, other products, and it's chock full of fantastic pictures. Now they've updated this book from a previous version to include that final X-Men movie.
Right,
but it is chock full of X-Men information and pictures and biographies of characters. It's brilliant. Four color. The design is beautiful. This is a great gift for any X-Men fan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anybody who's a fan of the films, the comic books, the characters, it's just a nice piece. It's kind of like a coffee table book.
Right.
You know, it's something you can keep out.
Mm-hmm.
People come over, thumb through it. But that's what really all of these books are. I mean,
this is actually the third edition of X-Men The Ultimate Guide.
Oh, okay. So there you go.
Right. It's new information and that includes all the new movie information, the television series, the animated series that came out a while back called X-Men Evolution.
Right.
And the latest updated information about the X-Men comic books. A fantastic, fantastic book. And a foreword by our man, Stan Lee.
Aw, Stan the man.
Right. This is the kind of visual reference guide sort of books that DK is known for putting out.
Oh,
let's,
sure.
Let's talk about a few more, because we've rifled through our collections to see what we have, because we realized we have a bunch of these books.
Well, can I talk about two that I have?
Well, sure.
I have, I was going through and I found my Transformers Ultimate Guide. And actually, I just grabbed this recently. It's the updated version again. This is the 2007 version. And it goes through everything. It goes through Gen 1, Gen 2. It goes through Beast Wars. It goes through the comic books. I don't think that it quite gets to the movie in here, but it does go through the newer books, the Dreamwave and IDW comic books. But I'm not too upset about the fact that it doesn't go through the movie, because naturally they did a Transformers The Movie Guide, which I also have here.
Right.
With a nice lenticular cover featuring Optimus Prime and the Autobots logo. And again, it's some great concepts from the film, really good in-depth character descriptions, little fact boxes talking about the characters' abilities, their powers, how they transform, stuff like that. Both really solid books if you're a Transformers fan. So you definitely should pick these up.
Got a few more. The Superman Returns, the visual guide.
Sure.
Of course, chock full of pictures and information about the film. There's a lot of little details that are included in these books that you may not be familiar with.
Right.
As a fan, you could be the biggest fan in the world, but, you know, sometimes you're just not going to see the little nitpicky stuff that, that these people go back and find and put in these large photo-filled editions.
Let's talk about one that I have but haven't opened yet, because it took me until now to just figure out how to open it.
It's one of the most unique book sort of designs ever.
It's Spider-Man, the visual guide to the entire movie trilogy. I picked it up again because I'm a big Spider-Man fan. And even though I was disappointed with the third film, I did like the first two, and there were some good things in the third movie that I concept-wise I thought was still kind of nice. What makes the design unique is this is actually two smaller books that kind of are attached at the spine and fold in half, and I think are magnetic. I think they're magnetic, which holds them together.
Oh, really? I didn't notice that.
So it doesn't open. And it took me like 20 minutes to figure out how to open this freaking book. But it's cool. Again, it's some interesting little facts about the movie and about the actors who portrayed them. And definitely worth it if you're a Spider-Man fan. Another one we have here would be the Smallville visual guide. I'm starting to get into Smallville now. I want to give it a whirl. Everybody keeps telling me I should watch it, even if I'm not a huge Superman fan. So it's a good place to start. Kind of gives you some character background, some episode information. This came out just last year, 2006. So I think it's probably current through season 6, I think.
Okay.
Or 7, somewhere around there.
Let's talk about this one.
All right.
This is a little outside our sphere, which is, again, DK is starting to branch out a little bit.
Sure.
Of course, you can always go to DK.com. That's www.DK.com to see their whole line of books on all different topics. They have books. We're covering the books that pretty much are in our genre, if
right.
you will. The sort of comics and films and TV, which is what we're about to talk about. But they have books on travel. And,
oh, sure.
And just so many topics you can't even believe. So go there, check out DK.com for more information. I'm holding in my hand the ultimate CSI,
right.
Crime scene investigation. This book filled with images, of course, as we mentioned before, all the books filled with images. They examine and explain more of each of the characters in the show's expertise. They talk about the characters and what their characters have gone through and how that affects their job. You can also, they also have some CSI kind of, you can see what's in a field kit and see the labs and you can learn about blood splatter interpretation and facial reconstruction, all of the methods and things that you see on the show CSI, they describe in more detail in here. Jerry Bruckheimer says of this book, who wrote the foreword of the book, right? He says that this will help the biggest CSI fan become even more of a CSI insider, which
wow.
I think that's a glowing endorsement for
sure.
a big, giant picture book like this.
Sure.
We got a couple of more. I'm getting down to our favorites here.
Sure.
The Complete Visual Guide to Pirates of the Caribbean.
Ooh, fits in with today's theme.
Gar.
Yeah. Exciting.
Oh, come on.
Ugh. Not the
the guide.
The theme, but your book, rather, the book here is very exciting.
Right.
It gives you complete visual analyses of the characters and their backgrounds and so forth. You get a lot of shots of some of the creatures and things, a lot of up close and detailed shots of the creatures, the weapons, those sorts of things. Right in the middle of the book, you get the Black Pearl, a sort of partially cutaway version of the Black Pearl, which you could see what goes on below deck and so on and so forth. Much like the Star Wars cutaway books or the cross section
right.
books. They also have what's his name? Ship.
Sal Feng ship, which is the Empress. I believe is the
Empress.
Of the
thank you.
And it's a gorgeous, gorgeous sketch of that ship.
Yeah, it's another one of these cross sections. Beautiful cross section. You can see all different levels of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And really, again, these books, what they do is they concentrate on making, I think, a big fan a better fan.
Sure.
Because these books will lend them, that's what they do, they lend themselves to you being a better fan of whatever the topic
is. Of course.
Because you get to be a little bit more inside, like Jerry Bruckheimer said in the CSI book, this kind of brings you a little more inside the world of Pirates mm-hmm. of the Caribbean with a little more details than you would necessarily get from the film. And of course, no one can ignore their complete line, DK's complete line of Star Wars.
I love these books.
Visual companions. The cross-section series, the location series, the visual guide series, and of course, the one I have is the ultimate visual guide, the special edition, 30th anniversary.
Oh, so that's brandy spanky new,
this
too.
This is a brandy new one, yeah. And again, complete. It covers everything. The films, the characters, the comics.
The holiday special?
The toys. I don't know. Oh, that's a great question.
No.
Let's see.
It's got to be in there.
Well, actually, Matt, let me consult if we can put the show on hold for just 1 minute.
Okay.
All right, we'll put the show on hold, and we'll be right back with that answer.
Okay.
Okay, so we've leafed through the book. I did find a reference to the holiday special.
Okay.
In fact, the only reference I could find, and maybe I'm not looking completely enough, the only reference I could find is in the Star Wars timeline in the 1978 section. On November 17th, 1978, the Star Wars holiday special featuring most of the Star Wars lead actors airs on CBS TV. It doesn't say in here that it was burned thereafter. That's it.
So there you go. So it does reference at least the holiday special.
Right, which, again, you're talking about a complete guide. Sure. I mean, it's at least acknowledging the fact that it exists. So, okay. I mean, on that level. And actually, speaking of Star Wars books published by DK, we mentioned earlier the cross-section books.
Right.
And the locations books. Mm-hmm. Which feature big, beautiful paintings and artwork. And actually, I got to talk to the guys who did all of those fabulous books, all of that beautiful artwork. I got to talk to them in San Diego.
All right.
And why don't we play that interview really quick?
Sure.
And here it is.
Hey, it's Big Kev. I'm here at the San Diego Comic-Con. I'm at the DK Publishing booth with Hans Jensen and Richard Chasemore. Now, you guys might not know their names per se, maybe you do, but if you don't know their names, you certainly know their work, the large, oversized, cross-section Star Wars books, as well as the locations, Star Wars locations books, these big, very detailed, very awesome pieces of artwork done by these two gentlemen, and they're here at Comic-Con. How are you guys?
Well, very well, thanks. A little jet lag, but feeling fine.
Yeah, having great fun here. How did you guys get into doing these cross sections? Is it something that you guys like thought of, like, hey, we should do some cross sections of stuff and see if anyone bites? Or,
well, we're both trained illustrators from college. We were doing cross sections way back in those days. For me, that was like in the early 1980s, and Rich was a little later.
Yeah, just about 10 years after that. But yeah, I worked away doing cross sections for special projects at college. And pretty soon after that, DK picked us up for doing the Look Inside load of books.
And when you got the assignment for Star Wars, were you like, I mean, I guess at this point you must have had some sort of unprecedented access to these things in order to be able to give such details.
Absolutely, yeah. We were lucky enough to spend 2 weeks at Skywalker Ranch doing our research before we started work on each book, and so we got to poke around in Lucasfilm archives, and we worked actually in the Skywalker Ranch art department with the concept artists and people like Doug Chang and
Wow.
Oh, totally. Well, we felt just so just amazed that they led us into a place like that with artists of that caliber all around us. It was a true dream for someone like us.
Let me ask you just one final question. You did the cross sections, you're doing the locations. Are those concepts now finished and you guys are going to move on to some new concepts? Or is there more stuff still to be done for these complete locations and the cross sections?
Now, we actually finished working on our Star Wars stuff just over a year ago now. That was the last work we did. And as far as we know, there are no plans to do any more, but we can never say never.
And there are other things. We've done stuff with for the Transformers books, Stargate, and there may even be something to do with Indiana Jones, but we'll have to wait and see on that.
Excellent. Thanks so much. That's Hans Jensen, Richard Chasemore. Check out their work. You can go to your bookstores. It's DK Publishing, large oversized books, cutaway vehicles and so forth, and locations for Star Wars.
And there it is.
So there you go.
A pair of nice guys with accents.
I hope that they do. I hope that they do get the opportunity to do more books. I hope that Lucas hasn't closed the door on them completely.
He's doing a little. They're doing a little teasing there at the end about.
Well, I'm thinking that if they have so much new stuff coming out, a new show, two new shows, a live action show, they're gonna have to do an updated guide at some point. And
maybe they'll get.
Those might
well,
be the
hope,
guys.
Look, I hope they're the guys because that work is phenomenal,
sure.
And you know it. Again, let's just say, check out www.dk.com. We're going to be continuing to cover DK books as they come out because I think they're fantastic.
Sure.
They make great gifts for fans. They're beautiful coffee table books. They're filled with information. It's not something you can just brush off or ignore.
What better way to proclaim your geekdom to the rest of the world?
I agree. And in that vein, let me just tell you what the one they have coming out is.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready?
I'm pretty excited about that one.
The James Bond Encyclopedia.
That's pretty nice.
We got a little preview here.
I know.
And let me tell you, my friend, this is a fine book.
I know. If you're any kind of Bond fan.
Any kind. You are going to fall over for this book.
Is this just the films? Or is it the books as well? Is it the novels as well? Or is it just the films? Does it say?
I think it's about the everything.
Because it says the complete guide on the cover there.
Right.
So I'm guessing it has to encompass, you know, what came before the films. But, you know, the preview stuff that we see is all film related. So I'm just curious.
I don't know. I guess we're going to have to wait. It definitely covers the films.
Oh, obviously.
So I'm going to say, I don't know. It's got to make some passing reference. Can I also say something to you, too?
Thick as hell.
I know. We have the cover here.
Right.
I'll just tell you. The cover is like
that inch
the
and a half.
The thickest book
two inches?
Is like the X-Men book.
Right.
It's got to be at least 2.5 of the X-Men book.
Yeah, I mean it's probably about 2.5 inches, no? Or
I mean,
2 inches
a
maybe.
A big thickish book.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Well, you know, you can look for it in October at a bookstore near
you.
Oh,
there you go. So
because that's where it will be.
A few scant weeks away.
A few weeks away, and actually when that book comes out, we will be talking about that book. Right here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. We're not going to let that one pass us by because that might be the gift for Bond fans this year.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say it right now. I think it is the gift for Bond fans this Christmas.
Definitely.
That's what I'm going to say. I can't wait to get a hold of that one.
Well, Big Kev, since I'm feeling charitable, since I'm feeling like I should give back to the listeners.
Okay, OG.
I'm going to part with my Smallville Visual Guide.
What?
I'm going to give it away on the show.
You're going to give away
one
of those
books?
Well,
on the website, I guess. Yeah, I am. To the listeners, to the fans of Geek Stuff.
How will you select this fan?
I think I'm going to do it a little different than last time. No trivia questions this time.
Okay.
It's just going to be submission. So just send me an email at bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com.
Well, we got to make it a little more exciting than just send an email. How about send us one paragraph why we should send you the Smallville, what is it? Smallville Visual Guide. Wow, that's a tongue twister.
I don't know if our listeners can write a full paragraph.
You cannot insult the listeners.
Oh, come on. They know I'm joking.
Come on. You know that's Fantastic's job.
But he's not here. Someone's got to fill the role. Otherwise,
I think
the
if they were
complete.
To write us a little note why they should receive the Smallville Visual Companion, I think that would be more exciting than just write us in and we'll randomly pick somebody.
Dear Big Kev and OG, I think that I should get the Smallville Visual Guide because I took the time to write this email. Love, fan.
Why would you say that?
Just saying. So you can send us an email at bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com and one lucky listener who submits. We'll get the Smallville Visual Guide.
My
personal collection.
Hey, you know, are you going to autograph it too?
I can.
No.
If they like,
please.
I can sign it.
No one
big
wants,
Sharpie right on the front.
No one wants you to ruin that beautiful book by your scrawling your scratch mark.
My scratch.
On that. So that's great. Smallville Visual Companion. Drop us an email and we're going to give that away. That's
there
swell.
You go.
Let's take a break and come back with the... Wrap up of episode 75, OG talked like a pirate for 2 seconds.
That's right.
Attention Geek Stuff listeners. Do you have a business, website, or other product or service that you would like to advertise on BigKevsGeekStuff.com or the show Big Kev's Geek Stuff? Reach thousands and thousands of people each and every week for a low, low price.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers advertising prices for everybody's budget. For more information on these packages, check out BigKevsGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising button.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff. The best geek exposure for your advertising dollar. Advertising space. No one learned from your mistakes.
We let our profits go to waste. All that's left in any case is advertising space.
Rosario Dawson from Clerks 2, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
We are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 75, I Talked Like a Pirate for like 2 seconds, because I know when to give a bit up.
I believe it's episode 75, OG Talks Like a Pirate, blech.
Or that, whatever works.
It's really,
you
know what it's going to be. It's going to end up being whatever Fantastic interprets the title to be.
You know, I think we need to veto his power. He's not here. He gets vetoed.
Right. You try and veto him.
I'm not going to try to veto him. He's a big dude.
No, he's not. All right,
what did we talk about tonight, Kev?
What did we talk about? So many things, I can't even remember where we started.
Fantastic Four 3, The Rise of Franklin. Looks like that might be a plot point for the third film.
The Birth of Franklin?
Yeah, The Birth of Franklin. According to Jessica Alba in an interview with MTV News.
I hope at least in the fourth film that he's a little kid and is causing problems.
That would be nice. That would be fun.
NECA has picked up Years of War, and they will be making figures and busts and statues and dioramas from that very popular Xbox 360 game and any of its sequels. Look for the first stuff to start hitting in 2008.
We talked a little bit about The Punisher, Warzone, the second Punisher film, and who's going to be in it and who we don't know is going to be in it yet. Obviously, no casting yet for Jigsaw, but we do know that Looney Bin Jim, his younger brother, is going to be Doug Hutchinson. British actor Colin Salmon will be Agent Paul Briansky, and Dash Mihawk will be playing Detective Martin Soap. So there you go. There's your Punisher update.
DVD releases for the week included the animated feature Superman Doomsday.
Right.
Which we said Best Buy Special Edition comes with a New Frontier comic book, which of course leads to their next film, Justice League The New Frontier.
Right.
Grindhouse presents Death Proof. It is one half of the movie expanded into full feature length.
Right.
Comes in a metal tin from Best Buy. And the complete Josie and the Pussycats.
That's right.
On a 2-disc set from Hanna-Barbera, also released this week. Family Guy Volume 5.
A must-have.
Featuring a lenticular cover, if you buy it at Best Buy.
Dancing Peter Griffin.
The Condemned, starring Stone Cold Steve Austin and Vinnie Jones.
Yuck.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Maybe it'll be fun. I'll give you fun.
And what I think is the coup de grace this week. Matt thinks is the coup de crap.
Right.
The bold new director's cut of Troy, the special edition of the special edition. It's a big fat box filled with a whole bunch of Troy things and features and pictures and books and things that you'll enjoy. I think it's a must have. I think this is an epic film. that is worth attention.
Speaking of things in big fat boxes, we mourn the loss of Robert Jordan this week. Our condolences go out to his family and the fans of the Wheel of Time series.
And
you may never get book 12.
And good luck to his son, Chris Jordan, who will undoubtedly pick up the ball and run with it.
Right.
From Marvel Select, we get Zombie Spider-Man.
Right.
I think it's... I don't get it. I don't get the whole fascination with Marvel Zombies.
But
I understand they're doing very well, and the books are doing well, and now we got statues and now action figures, and I don't get it.
I like the statue better, but the figure is definitely nice and worth having. We talked a little bit about LucasArts putting out The Force Unleashed on the Wii, spring of 2008. We talked last week about what platforms it was going to be on, and we mentioned it wasn't going to be available for the Wii, but it is now going to be available for the Wii with a Jedi dual mode exclusive to the Wii that will make use of, obviously, the Wii's new technology, and that I think will be a lot of fun. Let's hope that they figure out a way to do some sort of online play with that.
Uh-huh. We also talked about our buddies up at Tonner,
yeah,
and their latest release of Dobby the House Elf.
Dobby the House Elf, of course, in most of the movies, a bigger part in most of the books. A great figure from Tonner, in scale with your other Harry Potter figures. He doesn't have underwear on, so there you go. And
He could talk about that on... never mind.
Wow. Can I just snub it like that? That ain't right.
They
were very nice and had me on their show. Uh-huh. I was a guest.
I'm sure.
I was honored.
I'm sure you were.
Be on Flick. Anyway, in the second segment of our show today, we talked about DK Books and the fancy, fancy, nice work that they do.
Right.
Some great companion pieces.
The people over at DK Publishing, check it out, www.dk.com. Check out their full line of books, and boy, do they have a bunch. The ones that specifically are in our genre have to do with things like Star Wars and X-Men and Spider-Man and CSI and other things. You want to check them out. If you're a fan of any of these properties, if DK is doing a book, you gotta have that book. And we also played our interview with the two fellas who did the cross sections,
right,
and locations Star Wars books, big giant picture books, big beautiful artwork, cutaway vehicles and things. I'm really excited about the fact that we have somehow up until this point seem to only glance at DK, but now we're taking a hard look at DK,
sure,
and they are really putting out some great stuff. Our next time we talk about DK, we'll be talking about the Monster James Bond Encyclopedia. It is going to be the gift for James Bond fans this Christmas. I'm saying it right now.
And remember, Smallville, the visual guide. It's the next giveaway here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Shoot us an email at bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com to enter that. And
tell us why
you
deserve the Smallville
The Smallville Visual Companion. Don't forget, you can check us out online at bigkevsgeekstuff.com. Check out the daily blog for some links and information. If there's something that you want to see me post in there, just shoot me an email at geekstuffog@gmail.com. It's my personal email address.
Really?
Yeah.
Geekstuffog?
Yeah. How to set up my own personal email address. And
why?
Because...
I didn't know you did that.
I had to do that. It's getting crazy. I wanted a little bit of separation so I could filter out the stuff for the blog. That's
Geek
all.
Stuff OG?
Well, that is my name. Geek Stuff is the show. Kind of works, doesn't it?
I just think it's funny.
Gmail is free, so it all works out nicely.
Okay. Geek Stuff OG.
@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can go to the iTunes Music Store and put in Geek Stuff in the podcast search and leave us a nice review. Because we love you.
Yeah, that would
love us.
That would be cool. Did you really set up your own email? Because
yeah.
Fantastic said that he was poking around and fiddling with the Big Kev's Geek Stuff email.
Well, I had to separate that a little bit. You know, put a password on there that he doesn't know.
You were afraid, weren't you?
I don't trust him. Look at him. He's not here. God only knows what he's doing tonight. He's not here.
Yeah, he could be off sabotaging us somewhere else.
That's what I'm saying.
He is not.
He's a saboteur.
He probably had like a creatine incident and just couldn't make it.
Well, let's hope that his family was away for the weekend then.
Oh, yeah. And he didn't have any Bibles.
That's what I'm saying. All right, folks, that's going to wrap up this episode. We'll see you next time.
And on that note, we cue the music.
The scourge of the Bondomy, the bloodthirstiest, black-heartedest pirate captain ever sailed the seven seas. What say we hoist the Jolly Roger, heel over to yonder Spanish galliard, lay a few broadsides of Ginner timbers, and swing over on these ear lanyards with our cutlasses in our teeth, and cut them to ribbons and split the booty. What say ye to that?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
I don't like it, and I don't want to do it. Tacky, tacky, tacky. And don't look at me that way.
Well, if you don't like it, what do you want?
I want to sing and dance. I want to sing and dance. I want to be a pirate in the Pirates of Penzance. Wear me silver buckle slippers and me tight shiny pants. I want to sing and dance.
You want to sing and dance? Ha! Well, you don't like plundering, eh? Well, shiver me timbers, how about treasuring, huh? Rubies and emeralds and pearls, gold doubloons and British sovereigns, silver chalices encrusted with diamonds and jewels, necklaces and bracelets of every shape and size, fit for the crowned heads of Europe, eh? And all buried in a pirate's chest, and I just happen to know where. How about that, me bloodthirsty buckos?
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
I don't like it, and I don't want it.
He don't want it.
And I won't do it. I'm an artiste.
An artiste? Well, Mr. Artiste, what do you want?
I want to sing and dance. I want to sing and dance. I want to be a pirate in the Pirates of Penzance. Wear me silver buckle slippers and me tight shiny pants. To sing and dance.
Now listen here. This ain't no floating Gilbert and Sullivan show, you know, for some little flitting Tinkerbell. This here be a black-hearted pirate ship, and I would have you keelhauled if you weren't my own flesh and blood, you little twit. So you don't like plundering, eh?
I don't like it.
You don't want no treasuring, huh?
I don't want it.
And you probably don't want no grogging and rifling and winching and rumming either, I suppose.
Well, deep down, you want to know the truth? It's not me. I don't want it.
Well, what do you want? As if I didn't already bleeding know.
I want to sing and dance and...
I know, and wear your tight little shiny pants. Okay, we'll all sing and dance. I said we'll all sing and dance. Oh, you walk the plank. One, two, three.
I want to sing and dance. I want to sing and dance. I want to be a pirate in the Pirates of Penzance.
I like it. I like it. I kind of like it, the old self.
Thought you would.
I want to sing and dance.
Rum.
You don't like rum?
Well, no, actually, I might like a little Perrier, maybe, with a little lime in it.
A little Perrier? With a lime in it? What's a lime in it?
Well, do you have any escargot?
Escargot?
What's a soup to that?
Soup?
Might have a bit of a salad, too.
Well, what about a bleeding finger bowl?
Maybe a croissant. Is that right? Those French make everything so hard. Why don't they just call it a bun?